Welcome. This is William Evans, and you are listening to A Living World Story. Our guests today are Dr. J.J. and Desiree Hertock. We are among the red rocks of northern Arizona in Sedona. Welcome, Drs. Hertock.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Evans. We're honored to be part of this program that's so important.
And both of you are social scientists, composers, authors, and futurists. Dr. J.J. Hertock is the author of the bestseller, The Book of Knowledge, The Keys of Enoch, translated into 25 languages. Together, you are the founders of the Academy for Future Science, an international NGO. Your most recent book is titled Sound. Why is sound important?
Well, we consider all life as vibration. You know, the more that scientists are starting to look even at the atoms and the molecules of our body, they realize it's not solid. This is something that even the great Nobel Prize winner Roger Penrose is talking about, that we are not solid particles. Even particles can become waves, even if you think that we're solid in that sense. So what's waves? Well, waves are sound.
Right. Pressure waves produce sound. Wonderful films such as Avatar with James Cameron's unique interplay of the plant world and the animal world exemplifies how sound is part of a higher communication we have with all life forms. In my work with the late Dr. Marcel Vogel of IBM, which led to the book with Peter Tompkins, The Secret Life of Plants, shows that there is a fantastic soundscape that helps in therapy, in communication, in interspecies understanding. And so we stand on the brink of a vast and awesome change that is taking place right now. And that's why we entitled our new book, Sound. And you, as a medical doctor, well know this from your years of experience. Sound has a very therapeutic effect on the heart, on the sensory system, and in the balance of the mind. And so in a world of vast change, this book we feel is so appropriate to bring out the musical qualities.
How does sound relate to the brain? And what is the alpha state?
Right, so there's actually frequencies. First of all, we hear, let's go back to the basics, only within 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. That's what humans, for the most part, hear. Actually, when you get older, of course, you lose some of that.
So we're a small part of the sound spectrum.
But cats and dogs actually hear about 45,000 to 65,000 hertz. So they can hear, that's why dogs bark when there's sirens. The things that don't bother us really bother them. And bats actually are to 200,000 hertz. So basically, there's a lot of frequencies that are out there that we don't hear. So that's extremely important. And then to understand the brain, that also, Dr. Hertock used to teach a course called Alpha Frequency Vibrations. You know, our brain is constantly putting out different frequencies. All the time it has all the frequencies, but sometimes the brain itself is having a heightened one aspect of those frequencies. I'll give you the names of them. Basically, the delta frequency is when you're in deep sleep, even comas, actually is a delta frequency. That's like 0.4 to 0.3, 0.9. And this can vary a little bit by people's studies. The theta is the next, and that's when we're really going to sleep. So when people are sleeping for the most part and even dreaming, they're pretty much in the theta state, which is 3.9 to 7.5 hertz. Then this is the exciting thing, and this has been used quite a bit, alpha frequencies, and that's really contemplation and meditation. So your brain really to meditate, and this is why some people have trouble because they don't realize it's really a state of frequency. This is the brain sending out waves. Can you imagine that your brain shifts from sleeping to contemplation, sending out these frequencies when you're in a deep state of meditation, not quite sleeping. Don't go to sleep in meditation. That'll drop you down from alpha to theta. And then our wake state, right now we're talking, and we're pretty much in the 13 to 30 hertz frequencies. And for, you know, they did a study on Tibetan monks.
That was at the Academy for Parapsychology and Medicine that I was involved with back in the 1970s.
And they expected that the monks in their meditations would be in this alpha state. But they weren't. They were in gamma. Gamma is 30 hertz to 100 hertz. And that gamma state really is high concentration. So the monks themselves were not going into alpha. They were going into gamma. And that's really the highest state of peak concentration. So basically, it's kind of interesting. You know, actually, my husband, when he's sleeping and I want to get tired and go to sleep, if I get close enough to him, I actually pick up on his alpha and his theta states, and I start going into those states, especially theta, and start going to sleep. So
it's called energy entrainment. So this is a big picture, that the human is composed of energy, chakras or energy seals, thresholds that have certain sound ranges. And if one is able to, so we say, manipulate and guide consciousness according to these energy frequencies, tremendous breakthroughs can take place. And this is first measured by Hermann Helmholtz, a German musicologist, in the 1880s. More recently, Joe Kamiya at the University of Chicago in the 1970s, and also having worked at the University of Chicago as a undergraduate, and then later with the Disney Corporation, Morton Subotnick, the father of electronic music, we were able to systematize how human brain waves fed into an oscilloscope and then seen on the screen by the human eye could actually modify the way we breathe, the way we think, the way we energize ourselves as musical instruments. This is why in my book, The Keys of Enoch, there is a picture of the human body, of how our body is really an acupuncture field of certain sounds and certain vibrations that we can use under human education and entrainment.
The Monroe Institute has done some tremendous studies in this, and they came up with a particular thing called binaural beats, and to try to put you in a state of meditation, because as I said, some people have trouble with meditation. So what they did, say you want to get into those frequencies, which are connected with the, say, 7.5 hertz frequency, which is, by the way, very close to the Schumann resonance frequency also of the Earth. This is where the ionosphere has lightning strikes.
7.5 to 7.8.
Yes. So basically, what they do is say you want to get into the state, and you could take something like a 20 hertz frequency in one ear because you got to hear something, and then the other one, you'd put it like with headphones on, the other one has a 27 point frequency. What your mind picks up between the two, the binaural beats, is a 7 hertz frequency. So you start going into those other states.
It can be described as a balance between the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain.
But basically, you can play with your mind, literally putting one sound in one and one in the other, and then your mind itself receives those frequencies.
So we are basically a musical instrument. We've been educated only to use one side of the brain, which is the analytical, the left side. We have forgotten about the right side, which is the musical frequencies that are put together as an orchestration of life. This is very important for what we call new medicine, through biofeedback, new psychology, through paraphysical understanding of the power of the mind to move objects like a musical instrument, new sociology of how we can music to bring people of different cultures together in balance, and most importantly, in terms of cosmology, and what I would say, theology, the concept of the universal mind that operates through all living forms through music induction. Our body is a biotransducer for sounds of the universe. This is what the astronauts heard when they were in outer space, sounds from the background patterns or frequencies of the planets. This is what we've discovered in our work with dolphins in the ocean that have an amazing vocabulary far beyond the reach of the human mind as policemen, or should we say guardians of other species of the deep. And also in our recent work with the soundscapes of how beautiful sounds and beautiful psychology can be combined to give people a head start on a new type of life.
So you also have an interest in cymatics. What is that and why is it important?
Well, it goes back to Hans Jenny, who was a Swiss medical doctor, actually, and he realized that, as we said, all life is vibration. And so what he did is he created something called a tonoscope. I think some of it was available around that time. And he put a kind of powder on the tonoscope. And he was able to put sound on this scope. And when he did, the powder formed sacred geometries. So what he came up with, which is really what is amazing, is he said that sound is geometry, and geometry is sound. So that there really isn't a separation, because you put a different sound. Now they do it in much more sophisticated ways. They use anything from water to magnetic little filings. That's all, you know, showing the same thing.
They sprinkle salt on a metal plate, play a violin, and watch the salt crystals rearrange themselves.
Right.
Or if you're by a lake, you can throw a 10-pound weight or rock into the lake, and then a few seconds later, another 10-pound or 20-pound rock, and you will see how the water circles and concentric circles interconnect and ultimately harmonize and vibrate. So Mother Nature is teaching us, in the shape of the coral, the basic geometry of the marine life, all the way to the way we think with our cochlea inside of our eardrum, how there are sound patterns, the basic structure of life.
Right, of course, but the tonoscope is a little bit more sophisticated, especially nowadays, that you have to have the sound patterning coming onto that plate directly. And when you do, you see if you're going with a certain frequency, it'll be one geometry, you go and shift it, and you can do it like one after the other. You can see the patterns literally changing into a new geometric pattern. Now, why is this interesting? Well, we said all life is vibration. And even now, people are starting to think that the universe itself is made of sound frequency. Some people say holograms, others say simulated universe. But regardless, everything is vibration, even the geometries of life. And of course, NASA actually did send some frequencies called the sounds of the Earth out on their Voyager spacecraft. Had whale sounds, it had other sounds.
This was under the direction of Dr. Carl Sagan, but one of our members of our academy was actually one of the musicologists who collected the sounds of animals and provided Carl Sagan with the larger spectrum going from the animal world to the human world.
And that was launched in 1977, but since then NASA has taken its Voyager, its Cassini, its Galileo information as these spacecraft have gone through the planets, and they themselves created something called the first sampling of the planet. So even though if you were flying by, you wouldn't hear the sound of Saturn with your own ears, but now being able to convert the frequencies of these planets, they can make it into a sound frequency that we can hear, because you're changing the vibrations. Again, we only hear a certain patterning as well.
And this is what the ancient Greek philosophers spoke of when they spoke of the music of the spheres, that the planets had unique sounds. Gustav Holst, the great musicologist of the 20th century, actually was renowned for his music, showing that we are part of a musical spectrum, like musical notes. And in our archaeological research throughout the world, we found that the pyramids of different shapes and sizes represent different sound patterns that you can step into if you have the opportunity as a singer or psychologist to go into the interior of a pyramidal or temple structure with permission, of course, of the authorities and do systematic study.
Yes, but you know, Dr. Tick, you mentioned something interesting, and that is that some of NASA's astronauts, it was actually the Apollo 10 mission in 1969, and you can find this under NASA's unexplained files. It was Cernan and Young, Eugene Cernan and John Young, when they were flying on the back side of the moon. And you know, we're just about to go with people, not to land on the moon. They didn't land either. It was just going to the moon. They went to the backside and came back. We're about to send the Artemis II probe And then ultimately the Artemis 3 probe, because we haven't gone back to the moon for a long time. Now, I don't think that maybe this will be heard, and I don't know if they didn't go because of all of this, but let me tell you what they heard. So CERN says, and this is all on tape, you can find it on internet, woo. And Young says, did you hear that whistling sound too? And CERN says, yeah, sounds like, you know, outer space type music. And Young says, I wonder what it is. So
this is very provocative. We also have worked in our research with astronaut Gordon Cooper, astronaut Ed Mitchell, who was the sixth man to walk on the moon. All have told us privately that they had heard sounds, they had experiences. Perhaps these are too subjective to make any scientific speculation. But if we follow the Greeks and we follow our own research at the Academy, you'll see a light around my body near a pyramid structure in Tulum, Mexico, back in the year 2000. 100 people were sitting before Desiree and I and singing certain sounds that were reflected off the pyramids. A soundscape was created. A brilliant light suddenly appears around my body, reminding us that we are part of a larger sound background. We are humans living in a symphony of sounds. And the thrust of our conversation with Will today is saying that we've finally been able to bring all of this together so we can be part of a whole new chapter of vibratory life.
This is KDNK, and you're listening to A Living World Conversation with Drs. JJ and Desiree Hertok. You've looked at official studies of music and singing and stress. What did you learn?
Well, let's go back. A good friend of ours was Dr. Masao Emoto. Many of you remember his book, Hidden Messages in Water. You know, and our body is 65 to even 70% water, depending how old we are. It gets less and less with our age. But, you know, he found that certain sound vibrations changed the geometry that he was finding when he froze the water that was around. One of the things he did was he played Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel, and the water became very, we'll say, chaotic. And when he played more beautiful sounds,
classical music,
they became more full of sacred geometry. So basically, it even affects things inside the body. More recently, actually, Columbia University has done a study on sound pulses. Now, there's been a lot of study with pulses. There's been isochronic sounds that the Monroe Institute has also looked at. There's kind of pulse frequency beds for healing and health. And it seems that when you look at certain types of pulses, you're not just listening to music through your ears. They found that you can actually augment the electrons, at least in nature, with certain types of pulse frequencies. Now, it's unique pulse frequencies. It's not something that we do every day. But the idea is that even the electrons of your body are affected in hopefully a positive way with certain types of pulse frequencies. So I think this is important to know. We've done this also with plants, right?
Right. Actually, their work demonstrates what we were doing 50 years before with Morton Sabotnik and Nam June Paik, a Korean engineer, very famous for his work with the Guggenheim Foundation. He was the inventor of the first video synthesizer. And so Nam June, myself, and Morton Sabotnik, father of electronic music, put all our efforts together to show how an actual musical score could evolve once we got control of the musical rhythms. But which means when we begin to harmonize and see the breath and the landscape of how our acupuncture system within our body begins to show how hands can connect with the feet with the eyes with the ears, we have an orchestration of sounds that can be used with the benefit of all things.
Right, and one of the things, we had a good friend, he created something called Abrasonics. His name is Jim De La Tosa, but other people have done this as well. He was able to capture the sound of, we'll say, birds chirping. Now, it's not a one single frequency. I think this is very important to realize. I know the Rife device was looking for that one frequency that would heal the body. Basically, he found that the chirping, either of birds and in some cases insects, was important to activate the ATP in plants to allow them to grow. So basically, and it was more of a cavity that he was able to create with like a certain type of sound vibration.
We call it a pterosphere, which was the plastic sphere that could be able to hold these resonant frequencies. So in essence, ATP, that's a very fancy word for adenosine triphosphate. That's the inner ingredients that all life has. And Jim de la Tosa was able to recognize that in the root structure of plants, even in the root structure of our body, there is a type of geometric pattern that can hold sounds longer. And if you tap into this and use it, you can expand the signals, you can increase the output of energy. And in a practical sense, you can use this for agrisonics or the multiplication of growth rates according to musical patterns.
Growing plants require some aspects of sound. I don't know if you've ever been in the woods at night. I'm sure many of you have, especially if you're listening to this in Colorado. It's really noisy. Well, that noise is what's making the plants, the trees, the everything grow and thrive. That's interesting. We never think of it that way. You cut the noise, you actually cut some aspects of the growth cycle. Doesn't mean it won't grow. You give it water, give it nutrients, it'll grow. But you're cutting off a lot of the natural frequencies of plant growth.
So these are some big names that you can look up on the internet. Jim de la Tosa, Marcel Vogel, Peter Tompkins, Christopher Bird. These are all top scientists in their field. So this is really a collection of 50 years of research. Now we're willing to put this out through a whole new series of, shall we say, music MP3s and 4s for what we call the experience of immersion. We have to immerse ourselves in sound, not just talk about it analytically, but actually feel the sounds, feel the vibrations. And you would agree with me, well, that when you feel these sounds, life is something different. Life opens up. You're all of a sudden in the Garden of Eden with the sounds of birds, of plants, of insects surrounding you. You begin to understand what you've been missing in the black and white world where you've only looked at things in terms of this two dimensions.
And if you'd like to hear some of our music, and I highly recommend also our associates music called Sacred Resonance Company, and they have something called Psi Plante, because one of the things we haven't talked about is that there are devices that this institute in Italy called Domenhur originally created. But in addition to that, our friends have actually created their own sound machines that you hook up a couple of electrodes to a plant, sometimes to a leaf or a stem, and then sometimes to the ground.
To the roots also.
And you get near the plant, it likes you a lot, and it'll start to sing. And you can hear beautiful singing. And our friends did a CD called Psi Plante from Sacred Resonance that you can hear the plant music. We've also incorporated some plant music in some of ours as well. But amazing that the sounds of the plants, they'll actually speak and sing to you.
And orchestrate through the sounds they hear from your voice.
Let's listen to some of the Psi Plante from Sacred Resonance.
So this is opening the human experience to the fact that we're dealing with interspecies communication. This is also bringing happiness to those who are perhaps shut-ins or not mobilized, who can actually feel the importance of plant music or the energy of their pets, or even better, the energy that allows us in the sleep state to experience the other dimensional realities of life.
You got something to tell us about how sound frequencies can influence the future of medicine.
Right.
How do you want to do that?
Well, we mentioned the Rife device. I'm sure many of your listeners have heard of that. This is Royal Raymond Rife, who at one point, and he's passed away now, created a device that was trying to figure out the different frequencies of disease. So if he could get to that disease, with the sound frequency, you could wipe it out. It's kind of like ablation a little bit in terms of today, but it was a particular frequency, a particular sound. Now, this is developed much more extensively. As I mentioned, there's someone called Dr. Anthony Holland who created something called Novobiotronics. He was a music professor who converted and created these pulse electromagnetic frequencies and oscillating electromagnetic frequencies to try to destroy cancer cells. In addition to that, we have a good friend called John Stuart Reed who has something called a cymoscope that he also is looking inside the body, trying to figure out if they can scope the body out and see what frequencies are there. They can analyze the fact that these are good cells or not so good cells, because if a frequency comes out that's not the normal cell, they're going to know it's a problem. We also strongly support the work of actually a very large company now, it's even a stock market company, called NovoCure. This is research done where they analyzed a bunch of frequencies, actually all the way from like a 0.4 frequency all the way up to 114 kilohertz. So they did a lot of research and they came out with the fact that not just one frequency is going to get rid of everything. They actually have a device for glioblastoma.
The worst type of cancer for the brain.
This is brain cancer. And they encourage, of course, they suggest you go through the allopathic, you try to remove it by normal frequent ways and, you know, the doctor's ways that they would tell you to do. And when and if that does not work, see them, because they get you to wear a helmet that produces particular frequencies, not just one or two. It's literally 7, 10, even more, depending on your circumstance. And it produces that, you wear it in your head, and it has been fabulously well received by what it does. It doesn't necessarily kill the cancer cell. It stops the cancer cells from duplicating. You can take a look at it, NovoCure. Now, if you don't, you know, we're not telling you how to heal yourself, and we do recommend when people are sick to go to allopathic medicine to take care of it, get rid of it as best you can, and then do what you can after that. So I want to emphasize that. But there's amazing things that are now coming about, especially from frequencies and sound. And just a few other things about the frequency medicine. You know, when you go get an ultrasound, now ultrasounds of course can usually see something inside your body, but ultrasound is a sound frequency. It's just not something that we can hear. In addition to that, a lot of sports medicine is now using ultrasound to release pains in your muscles as well. So basically, we are vibrations, we are frequencies. And one of our good friends who's sadly no longer with us, his name is Peter Gurayev. He was a Russian scientist, but he said even your DNA is frequencies, has frequencies. And he was working on analysis to be able to make the DNA more holistic.
Call the wave genome.
And being able to keep it going longer and stronger.
Think of it, the music of DNA. We want to thank you again, Will, for this opportunity. And if you want to keep in touch with us on this exciting research, please go to our website, keysofenoch.org.
Or futurescience.org.
Where you'll see our scientific papers, but more importantly, listen to the music that we've orchestrated with Stephen Halpern, father of New Age music, who has been, shall we say, involved with the sacred message of what all of this means, which means that we are all one humanity.
Thank you, Drs. Hertog. This is KDNK, and you've been listening to a Living World conversation about shifting gears into a new medicine and the role that sound will play in that transition. Thank you for listening.